The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 936. It's the 29th of November 2017. On the podcast today, I have Zaza Mamelashvili, President and Chief Executive Officer of Frontera Resources, that's FRR, and Zaza provides an update on their UD2 well on Block 12 in Georgia. Also on the podcast, Bert Monroe, Head of Business Development at Hummingbird Resources. And Bert talks about the launch of their 1 ounce Hummingbird gold coin. And that's in line with the imminent commencement of gold production from its Yanfolila gold mine in Mali. Also on the podcast, Nick von Schönding, Executive Chairman of OTAC Resources, OTC. And Nick highlights further significant new gold assay results from their Kasa gold project in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Plus, it's Wednesday, but Chris Bailey's on today from financialorbit.com. Talks about London Stock Exchange Group, Royal Dutch Shell, and Cineworld. And as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 3-4 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Zaza Mamelashvili, President and Chief Executive Officer of Frontera Resources. That's FRR ticker. Zaza, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much, Dustin.
Now, you've had some positive news out of late, quite significant, and the share price reacted nicely. We'll get to that in a bit. Before we do, for anyone new to the podcast or not aware of the business, could you summarize what you're all about, please, Zaza?
With pleasure. We are a European-focused onshore oil and gas exploration and production company operating in countries of Moldova and Georgia. The focus of our operations at the moment is Block 12 in Georgia, and particularly Tsarachevo gas complex, which we call MGC, with 5.8 trillion cubic feet of recoverable gas, and Taribani complex with 155 million barrels of recoverable oil, sitting on the top of over 3 trillion cubic feet of deep recoverable gas. Those are resource estimates by Netherland, Sewell & Associates. In fact, our internal estimates are substantially exceeding those numbers provided in CPR. We have very well-established oil and gas production operations with excellent infrastructure in place, particularly oil and gas export pipelines running through our block together with Georgia's gas distribution grid. So at the moment, we are working on both directions, preparing for commencing the drilling campaign of oil wells in Taribani complex. Mm-hmm. And as we speak, we continue testing of Udabna 2 gas well in Tsarachevo gas complex.
Yeah, well, let's go through some of the results of that. It's obviously Block 12 in Georgia there, so the UD2 well. So what's happening? Give us an update, please, if you could, Zaza.
Yes, we announced yesterday interim results for UD2 well, which is very exciting due to the fact that first time in Georgia, we are flowing natural gas from Miocene-aged Gareggi Reservoir of Tsarachevo Gas Complex. So once this well will clean itself, we'll be able to accurately measure gas flow rates and obtain all needed gas flow parameters to complete the final design of 18-kilometer pipeline. So once we are finished with testing, we lose no time to connect the well with our gas processing facility for further distribution to the market. Another important side of this is the fact that Gareggi Reservoir extends beyond Tsarachevo gas complex, mm-hmm. all the way to the east to Taribani field for about 50 kilometers away from MGC, and even farther southeast. So over 3 trillion cubic feet of Taribani deep gas, which I've mentioned earlier, is contained in the same Gareggi Reservoir, which gives you a pretty good idea about the scale of the potential.
Yeah. And so has this, in your mind, exceeded expectations, Zaza?
That really has exceeded our expectation, because this is very exciting to flow a Miocene age gas at the moment and see this flare. And another, the thing which really exceeded our expectation is the fact that chemical composition of gas in Taribani complex, which has been discovered by previous operator years ago, is turned out to be pretty similar to Tsarihevi gas complex's gas, which we are flowing at the moment at UD2L, which makes us think that we are dealing with something very, very substantial in here.
Okay, and you say that once the testing is done and the cleanup and is completed and stabilized, gas flows established, how long does that all take then, Zella?
Before we get to the market, we almost completed, we've secured right of the way for the gas pipeline, which we have to build to connect this well to our gas processing facility, which in turn is connected to Georgia's gas distribution grid. So it will take probably 6 to 8 weeks to complete the construction of the pipeline and be connected to gas distribution grid. So basically within 2 months we should be able, once we finish testing, mm-hmm. within 2 months we should be able to start marketing the gas.
Excellent stuff. And is that the next sort of big milestone, or will there be other news in between?
I think we will have some other news in between, which is commencement of oil well drilling campaign in Taribani complex, which we're scheduled to start in January. So we're going to have very exciting news flow starting from January on drilling side and gas testing side and gas marketing side.
Excellent stuff. Okay, well, Zaza, if anyone's listening to this and likes the sound of this release and where you're headed, especially into the new year here, but are not yet following the story on Vox Markets, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please.
We are low-cost onshore operators with established oil and gas production operations, and we are the only company in the country selling oil and gas to the market. We have massive CPR estimates done by Netherlands, Sewell & Associates, and gas well testing in progress as we speak, and oil well drilling campaigns to commence in January. So I think all those are good reasons to follow us.
Yeah, absolutely. Zaza, good to speak to you. And like I said, you've got a busy couple of months ahead of you, so no doubt we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Bert Monroe, Head of Business Development at Hummingbird Resources. HUM is the ticker there. Bert, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me on the show again, Justin. Nice to speak to you.
Yeah, and I've got to say, there's a bit of noise in the background. That's because you're at Minds of Money, aren't you?
That's correct, yeah. The Minds of Money London conference. I'm at it now, so apologies if there's a bit of background noise.
No, that's all right. I like the Atmos. But, I mean, just explain, sum up what Minds of Money is all about. Why do you go there, Bert?
I guess, you go there ideally to meet investors, to your existing ones and potential new ones. It's a pretty large conference. It's a big, it's a big show. You go around and meet other companies, meet investors, just meet everyone in the industry and just see what's going on.
Okay, and for people listening right now who've not heard of Hummingbird Resources, just explain what you're all about yourself and the company.
Yeah, Hummingbird's an AIM-listed gold company. We are on the cusp of first production at our Yanfolila gold mine in Mali. It's an extremely profitable mine. It has an all-in cost of around $700 an ounce. And it'll produce over 130,000 ounces of gold in its first full year of production. We've also got a large-scale project in Liberia with over 4 million ounces of gold in two deposits side by side. So that is Hummingbird in a nutshell.
Excellent stuff. And you're on the podcast today because I saw this lovely gold coin. I thought, what's all that about then? And it's got the Hummingbird on it, 2017. Tell us what this is all about, please, Bert.
Yeah, so we just launched it today. It's the 1 ounce Hummingbird, so really it's a way for Hummingbird shareholders or anyone who's interested to be able to buy a piece of Yanfolila gold. So we're marketing it as a single mine origin coin, so you know exactly where the gold's come from and everything which it stands for and what we stand for in terms of creating the mine and giving back to the community as well. So yeah, exactly. So it's a pre-launch really today. We're just trying to register people's interest. I think we've already had interest in over about 300 coins already in the first hour and a half. So it's been going pretty well. But it's a way for people to get a piece of coin, get a piece of gold, and own a bit of gold from the gold mine they've invested in.
Yeah, and when are they available? And of course, how much do they cost then?
So the plan is to officially launch it early in the new year, where you would obviously be able to actually purchase it. Mm-hmm. At the moment, you can just register your interest. And then the plan is to be delivering coins in H1, so sometime in the first half of next year. In terms of the pricing, obviously you're buying 1 ounce of pure gold, so it's basically going to cost you as much as an ounce of gold. Obviously, there is, you know, going to be there is obviously a small cost in the making of a coin, and obviously the shipping and postage. So yeah, we haven't fixed a price yet, and it will always be a floating price based around the spot gold price at the time of sale.
Yes, nice that. And this is, the thing is, you know, this it's a decent investment, isn't it? It's proper gold.
Well, it is proper gold. We've also made a commitment as well in it that we would buy back any gold coins for 98% of the value at the time of the repurchase. So anyone who's buying it is probably concerned about the risk, and if they wanted to get the cash out of their gold coin, and you know, there's obviously lots of avenues you can do that. There's lots of people who will buy gold off you, but we've committed we would buy back any of the gold coins for 98% of the value of the gold at the time of repurchase.
I like the sound of that. It's a good concept. So, was this your idea, Bert? Say yes.
Well, yeah, it was my idea. Yeah, no. Look, I think it's something that Dan and I are very keen. I think, look, Hummingbird, we've always wanted to grow a business, not just be a mining company. And I think Dan's family business have got a 260-year history in the gold industry. You know, I think it's the oldest private gold company in the world. So they're obviously, it's second nature to them, you know, the trading of gold and the buying and selling of gold. So I think it's natural for us to want to do something like this. And I think also it's great because I think, you know, people own a share in Hummingbird, but, you know, your stockbroker has it. How do you actually feel you've got a bit of it? And I think allowing people to buy some of the gold in the company they own, partly own, is great. So I think it seems to have been well received so far.
Yeah, okay, good stuff. And I've got to say, people, if you are interested here, you can go to hummingbirdresources.co.uk/coins. And
exactly.
You just type in your sort of name and email address, contact details. And what happens then? You just get an email, do you?
You get an email confirmation. It just registers your interest. And then obviously when it goes live and they go on sale, hopefully in January, we'll obviously give everyone who's registered their interest the first chance to get in and start buying them before we push it out to everyone else.
What is the price of gold at the moment? It's okay.
I think it's about, I haven't looked in the last few hours, it's about just under $1,300 an ounce.
$1,295.
So I guess give or take about £1,000, I suppose. I'm not sure exactly what the exchange rate's doing at the moment, but give or take £1,000.
Nice, yeah. Excellent stuff. All right, but well, listen.
But you're getting £1,000 worth of gold, so.
Yeah, exactly. So there we are. But anyone listening right now, and I know you've been on before and talked about the project, and like the sound of what you're doing here, but not yet following you, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please, on Vox Markets.
No problem. I'll probably give you the exact same three reasons I gave 2 weeks ago. So
consistency is good.
Reason number one, we're on the cusp of production. We're fully funded and very close to delivering our gold mine. So you'll be owning shares in a cash flow positive company. Reason number two, we've got huge potential to grow and expand our existing mine. So the ability to lengthen the mine life and increase the amount of production we believe is extremely good. So we'll be looking to focus on that over the course of next year, as well as delivering the stated production. And reason number three, huge exploration potential, not only on our own properties, but also through interest in the likes of Kora Gold, which is an aimless exploration company Hummingbird's got a 34% interest in.
Excellent stuff. And do you know what? Do you know where I see the next rise in gold?
Where?
When Bitcoin and everything crashes.
You could buy ten hummingbirds for one Bitcoin. So, if you've got a lot of Bitcoin out there, you should probably trade at least one and register your interest for 10 hummingbirds, because you get some real gold.
Yeah, but do you know what, though? I mean, listen, I'm serious, because at the moment there's a lot of investors, people sort of speculating on Bitcoin, and it's gone parabolic. It's gone crazy. It's really gone off the scale, you know. And I think once you see a massive correction in that, there will be a lot of people looking for, and you should always have a bit of gold in your portfolio, no? As a safe haven.
You should always have a bit of gold in your portfolio, Justin. That is exactly right.
I mean,
look, I'm no expert on these cryptocurrencies, but I imagine if they, you know, when they become too successful, I imagine governments will look to try and stop and influence them because they like to control the money system, don't they? So I can't, you know, I'm no expert on it, but it does feel crazily expensive to buy a Bitcoin right now.
It's very toppy, yeah. So
by saying that, Justin, it'll probably go double.
There's no knowing when it will happen. I just think it will happen. But when it'll happen, it may go rally for another year. I know, but I just think, and even then, if it does, I think it's a bigger crash about to happen. But and that's when I think gold will shoot up like crazy. Bert, thanks for chatting to me, and hopefully we'll chat again in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot, Justin. Nice to talk to you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Nick von Schönding, Executive Chairman of OTC Resources. That's OTC. Nick, thanks for coming back on.
Good morning, Justin.
So you've had some material news out, and the market seem to be welcoming that news. So we'll get into that in a bit. Before we do, Nick, for people not aware of OTC, could you explain what the business is all about, please?
Of course. OTC is a mining exploration company with assets in the DRC, that is gold, Zambia, which is copper, cobalt, and gold asset in Slovakia.
Excellent stuff. And so, released now, further gold asset results at Casa Mining Project. And take us through this, Nick. Take us why the market's reacting positively to this.
Look, this is a further significant gold assay result that we've announced this morning. We continue to intersect substantial thickness of mineralization of in excess of 2 grams a ton. As the announcement says this morning, we announced 9 meters in excess of, or just under 4 grams a ton. And then going back to thickness, 27 meters at just under 2.9 grams a ton. So, you know, this is very interesting. And that, of course, comes on the back of some very significant drill data that we announced a few weeks back, which was 25 meters at 8 grams, including 5 meters at 23 grams a ton. So this data is now really firming up very nicely. In Akyanga, which is the deposit. And interestingly, we're also going back to previous drill data that we have as CASA, we've drilled some years ago in the surrounding areas. And as the release indicates, one of those is particularly interesting, a hole called hole number 58, which is only 100 meters away from one of the holes we've just announced this morning. And that's showing 13.2 meters at 4.33 grams a ton. Mm-hmm. So this is really firming up to be, I think, a resource, you know, well in excess of 2 million ounces.
Yeah, it's looking good. So what's next then, Nick?
Well, we have a 5,000 meter expansion infill drill program here, and we have drilled to date just over 2,200 meters. So we've got some way to go, another 2,800 meters, and you know we're well financed. We've got the capacity to continue that program well into next year.
Excellent stuff. All right, Nick. Well, listen. If people are listening to this and like the sound of these results and where they're headed by the looks of it, but are not yet following you on Vox Markets or the story, give them 3 reasons why they should hit that follow button, please.
Well, look, firstly, I think this is a company undergoing significant transformation. We will rename this group in a few weeks. We've got a revamped board, an entirely new board. We've got a focused new strategy around our African assets, and we're well-financed into next year.
Yeah, and looking at it, you want to run about 4 million market cap. So is that right? So, you know, it doesn't take a lot to move that, does it, really?
Correct.
Nick, good to chat to you. And hopefully, like you said, lots of things are going on. Hopefully we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future.
Good. Thank you, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com. You're right, Chris.
Hello, Justin. Yeah, very well. Thank you very well.
You keep him warm.
Well, it's about 2 or 3 degrees here, I think, but not too bad. Let's face it, it's a proper winter, right? And that's what, actually, you know, let's forget about all these American imports, Cyber Monday and Black Friday and whatever else. You know, what retailers want is a proper Christmas, and they want proper weather for it, because, you know, that induces maybe those reluctant consumers to get out there and spend.
Yeah, and hopefully the retailers can't blame the weather. I hate that when they say, oh, it's been a mild winter, we can't. And this time, if it is a winter, it's a winter. You can, if they have bad figures, say, listen, it was a winter. You can't blame anything else apart from your stock or your trading or the way you manage the business. Don't blame the weather or Brexit.
Don't get me started on the whole weather blame thing. What was it? It was a bad late summer for everybody, it seems. So whether it was outdoor or indoor, so goodness only knows what to make of that. But indeed, I quite agree. But all I do know is that it's clearly not going to be easy on the high street. We can see that by the ongoing cyber trends and everything else. And the fact that obviously consumers don't have a lot of spare cash. But my feeling is, the run-up to Christmas is always an okay time. It's going to be the crunch. If there is going to be one in the retail space, it's going to be after Christmas. You know, there is always a natural bit of a downturn. People got credit card bills to pay and everything else. But if there is a real fundamental issue, if kind of what was in the budget and the Bank of England have been talking about, if that really is going to impact, watch out for it next year. I think up until Christmas, enjoy the cool weather, get out there and spend a little bit and get your presents in.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Okay, what are we looking at today, Chris?
Well, let's start with the London Stock Exchange. What on earth is happening at the London Stock Exchange? You know, this has been actually a marvellous success story for many years, and they even obviously fought off the Germans via Deutsche Börse via big potential deal. But recently, it was announced that the CEO of the London Stock Exchange would be leaving. He's been a hugely successful figure. And actually, a hedge fund got very angry about this because they felt he was being pushed out by the chairman of the London Stock Exchange. Anyway, it's taken a funny old twist today where the CEO, now the ex-CEO, has actually resigned on the spot and said very, very clearly that he's not coming back to the London Stock Exchange sort of for any reason ever. Which seems to be basically saying to the hedge fund, look, guys, you might want me to stay, but the reality is I'm off to do something else. But the funny thing is, he's not saying what that is. And this is what's strange about this story. You know, I get it if the guy's been there for quite a few years, he's done a great job. You know, if he's saying, look, I'm going to leave it to somebody else, I've done all I can, it's time for a new challenge. I absolutely get that. But he hasn't. It's been very, very quiet. And there's lots of rumours about him being gagged. You know, basically the chairman was unhappy with him. He did want to push him out. He felt his management style was a bit too abrasive or aggressive. He wanted to bring somebody else in, etc., etc. These things happen. But I must admit, it does look as if the CEO's been a bit gagged. And today's statement just adds to the intrigue and mystery. Look, my bigger point is this. Whenever management teams have a bit of a falling out or there's a bit of uncertainty, share prices can lag. Because guess what? Management teams do matter. You know, sure, big picture stuff matters, economy and products and everything else. But you've got to have a management team that makes a sort of an impact. That's your ideal. They can make a real impact on a business. And this just doesn't, you know, sit well with me. And I look at the London Stock Exchange share price. The share has drifted back over recent months. It's a firmly valued share, highly valued, admittedly done a great job. But the reality is, steer clear when you've got this management angst. Sure, they've put the CFO in as interim CEO and they're looking for a new CEO. But it just, all of it just doesn't sit well with me. And if it doesn't sit well with me, my feeling is, and there's a high valuation, leave it alone.
Yeah. And you're right, when there's a bit of a shake-up. Of course, you know, eyes get taken off the ball a little bit and they put a lot of focusing on the business a little bit and things go, you know, a little. I know there's a lot of people working there, but when the top guy isn't, you know, telling the guys below him to do this and do that and they're looking for another guy, then the focus moves a little bit, doesn't it, from what the job is, you know? So,
It does. So, it's obviously, look, LSE done a great job, and obviously in terms of facilitating trades and settlement and everything else, top notch. But the reality is, as a share, I'll leave this one well alone. It's very firmly valued now. Management evolution does it's just something isn't quite right there, and I can't put my finger on it. If I can't do that, I'm going to look elsewhere.
Excellent. Okay. Anything else you're looking at, Chris?
Yeah. So Royal Dutch Shell, look, Royal Dutch Shell came out yesterday with a big update saying that they were going to move back to a proper dividend rather than just a scrip dividend. So paying out cash now. Yeah. They're talking about buybacks. They're talking about good cash flow from their business. And obviously all of this is showing that actually that big BG purchase of a few years ago has actually started to pay off. And obviously the oil price has gone up and that's helped things a bit. So suddenly the management's got much more credibility. They've shareholders. Orders are happier. The share was up nicely yesterday, I think 3-4%. Look, my observation on Shell is this. Whenever I see energy companies starting to talk in that more sort of effusive, excitable way, there's only one thing that's going to happen next. They're going to spend more money on exploration. It is inevitable. You know, they've gone through the sort of the austerity period. They're coming out the other side now. They want to spend money. And they've obviously been suppressing CapEx, capital expenditure, for a number of years now, for many good reasons. So I think the Shell comments are actually going to be replicated in sort of different ways and means by other big oil companies around the world. The outlook for the oil services business is getting better. And this is good news, because obviously oil services have been really out of favour. And there's even been a few deals. You know, you think about Amec and Wood Group sort of coming together. You know, that's again a sort of a good indication for the market kind of firming up the supply. So for me, this is good news for somebody like a Wood Group, who I think ultimately have bought some good assets with Amec. And the shares, they bounced back a bit from the sort of the dog days of the summer when the oil price was out of favour and the deal between Amec and them was under a bit of consideration. But there's a lot more potential here. You know, Wood Group shares, for example, are still below 700 pence. You know, you flick back to the start of the year, they were 900 pence. And admittedly, they've gone via below 600. But my point is this. I think the outlook for oil services is getting better. And I think the sort of the extrapolation from the Shell news is not load up with Shell. Because frankly, Shell's had a pretty good run. Yeah. And it's actually near a pretty big resistance point at the moment. It's a solid old beast, but it's for your pension fund. It's not for your more sort of active investing fund. Take a look at some of the oil services names. For me, you start with people who have potentially bought well in the area, who've kind of beefed up their exposure, maybe at the right time, and that's somebody like a Wood Group.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're right, Shell. At 25, it's failed there, and it's going to have a bit of a task to get above that again. So, yeah, it's not a lot of upside there, not a lot of potential, you know, percentage gain. So I'd look elsewhere.
Yeah, it's a widow's and orphan stock, and it's perfectly all right as a sort of a cornerstone of your portfolio, of your pension fund and everything else. Because let's face it, they're a big old beast, and, you know, this is not the time and the place to get into long-term discussions about oil and energy and everything else. They're all right as a sort of a cornerstone stock, a boring old solid hold. But if you want to do something a bit more exciting, take a look at the oil services industry and use that information from Shell to kind of think about your next strategy. Wood Group would be my top pick in that sense.
Marvellous. Anything else?
One other quick one.
Yeah.
We sort of talked about a big deal today, Cineworld. Now, Cineworld's never a stock I've owned in the past. I've enjoyed films out there at my local Cineworld, and it's been a marvellous story, actually, for investors. The shares has done rather well over recent years, but they've just announced a mega deal. Now, Cineworld has a market cap in dollar terms about $2.5 billion, or did have before today's fall.
Yeah.
They've just announced a big old deal in the States to buy the number two player, cinema player in the States for $3.5 billion. So basically, bigger than they are. So this is a big and brave old deal. And guess what? The shares have looked at it and said, okay, guys, we hear what you're saying. We hear you're saying that you're going to fund it through a bit of debt and a bit of cash and a bit of bank facilities, all a bit unclear at the moment. And they've sold the shares off when I last looked, 12, 13%. So, you know, it's a big and brave deal. It's an expansion into the States. You know, Cineworld over recent years has been the UK and bits and bobs of Europe. And they've done rather well with that. So this is the big US expansion, which, you know, can be good and can be bad, depends on what you buy, but it's a brave move. And certainly what the share price move is telling me is that investors are saying, guys, we want more detail. You know, you can't just say this and sort of, okay, the deal is still kind of ongoing, due diligence is being done, maybe the other side don't like it, maybe another bidder comes in, who knows? But shareholders are rightfully worried, and I'm also surprised to see the shares fall off today. Here's what struck my attention, though. They've fallen back to 600 pence. And the thing is, the law of round numbers really matters in investments from a sort of a technical perspective. And you look at the Cineworld share price, and, you know, above 700 pence, it's struggling. Below 500 pence or below has been a bit of a support level on sort of a multi-year view. It's here at 600 pence. So it really is news flow driven from here. It's all going to be, what does this deal look like in reality? How are they funding it? What synergies do they see? What impact can it have on their performance and their overall profitability? So, you know, for me, it's a watch. You know, over to Cineworld's management. Let's hear what they've got to say over the next few weeks and months. But if I was looking at this share, you can afford to wait. You know, there's no need to pile into this one on a big share price fall today. You know, watch and wait for the next set of news flow.
Yeah, excellent stuff. I did see that and I thought, 3.6 billion, that's a lot. And I wasn't quite sure the market cap. I thought that's got to be about the size of them. And it's very ambitious. I quite like that ambition, though. You know, but it often can make the company fall apart. But, I mean, yeah, I do quite like that.
Ambition is good. And debt, if added at the right time for a good deal, is great. But if it's also the killer of companies if it's a bad deal. So the key is to wait, see what if the management land this one, and if they do, how they're going to finance, how they're going to talk about it. My gut feel is this is a big and brave deal, but good luck to them. You know, they've built up a track record within Europe of doing savvy, sensible deals, but this is a big one. There's no doubt about that. But no need to pile into the share on seeing it down over 10% today. You know, watch and wait, you know, wait for some more info and go from there.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. Chris, have a nice week. Speak next week, fella.
Sounds good.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Parallel Media, PAA. At four, Photostart LED, PSL. At three, Blenheim Natural Resources, BNR. At two, Ascent Resources, AST. And number one most followed company was Physiomics, PYC. And, of course, they went crazy yesterday. And do you know what? I did actually go to buy them at 1.7 pence. I couldn't buy a lot, though, so I didn't bother. Turns out today, let's look at the share price on them. Hang on. The share price is something like 9.25 pence. There we are. So it's a sort of 600% gone up. So ridiculous. There you go. You win some, you lose some. Well, I didn't lose anything. But I lost out. Okay. Top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours were: at five, Strategic Minerals, SML, PDMR Dealing. At four, Vesarian, VRS, Interim Results. At three, Ascent Resources, a Notice of Shareholder Conference Call. At two, AsiaMet Resources, ARS, Index 115.5 meters at 1% copper at BK44 zone. And number one most liked RNS came from Ascent Resources, Director Shareholding. And that's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.